The words given to us today is Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. It is page 1 of the Old Testament. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Allow me to read the words. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Amen. Starting from October 26th, I will be serving as the co-partnership with all the pastors. Please send your prayers towards us. I once found a woman in her 40s crying with her two children at the entrance of an adoption agency. She was crying so sadly that I later asked the security guard about it, and he said that she was an adoptee and went to the United States as a baby. When she grew up, she mustered up the courage to find her parents, but she couldn't find any information. So she simply went to the entrance of the adoption agency, which was the starting point of her life, and was crying endlessly. She had already gone to the U.S., grew up there, got married, and even had two children. Even so, she still decided to come to her birth country to look for her biological parents. Why so? It may be different for each person, but for some, the reason may be in the hope of finding their roots and establishing their identity. Multiple pieces of a puzzle make up an individual's identity. Multiple pieces such as one's birth country, place wherein one grew up, family background, schools, friends, faith, job, and so many others make up one's identity. However, this woman who did not know her biological parents was unable to solve the puzzle of the parents factor, which was the most important piece about her roots. Anyone who has tried solving puzzles must know that no matter how far you went, matching 999 pieces, if a single piece of that puzzle disappears and you cannot complete the puzzle, you will feel unbearable discomfort every time you see the puzzle. In order to find the peace of mind, you would have to search every corner of the house to solve the final piece of the puzzle. This woman in her late 40s must have come all the way to Korea in search of the one piece of the puzzle that was missing, which would complete the puzzle of her identity, which was her parents. However, there was no way to find the last piece, which was why she was so frustrated and could only shed tears. Is she the only woman crying? What about us? Aren't mankind who have left God crying because they cannot find the identity of their roots? The answer to the question of humans who are wondering whether there is something with great roots that they can boast of is no one knows. It is said that the world began with a Big Bang, a theory pointing to cosmic explosion, but no one can answer how or why that explosion occurred. Also, humans have no choice but to answer, "I don't know," when asked about what happened preceding the Big Bang. In essence, the starting point of the Big Bang is analogous to the entrance of the adopting agency, where we cannot help but cry, looking for lost memories. The puzzle of one's identity cannot be completed. Also, regarding the origin of life, some argue that life began in hydrothermal vents where hot seawater gushes out due to magma in the ocean. And there are various hypotheses about the origin of life, but there are still too many unanswered questions in unraveling why and how life began. But one thing is for certain. There's a lot that's still unknown about the origins of life and the universe. For example, Francis Crick, who discovered the structure of DNA and won the Nobel Prize in 1962, says the following in his book, Life Itself. The beginning of life starts off almost as a miracle. Too many conditions have to be satisfied and met in order for life to emerge. As a result, he searched for the origin of life and eventually came up with the hypothesis that life began when microorganisms from space were sent to Earth by aliens rather than by chance. This may sound a bit absurd, but it's a serious statement made by a scholar who actually received a Nobel Prize. Paradoxically, this hypothesis alludes to how low the probability of the birth of life occurring by chance is. In the end, putting all these theories together, the human race as a whole ends up crying because we have not been able to solve the final piece of our puzzle of our own identity. No matter how much science develops and we get closer to the origin of the universe and life, in the end, we still find ourselves in the dilemma of falling into emptiness because we cannot find the answer to those whys. What kind of life will we live as a result? Humans, unable to understand the purpose of their lives, eventually falls into nihilism, failing to find the reason to live. Such people who fall into that nihilism tend to indulge in what is right in front of them, what is visible, falling into a whirlwind of expanding their possessions and seeking only pleasure. Or some may pursue a higher purpose of life that's better than others, but in the end, that too is considered meaningless in the face of the fate of a civilization and world that will disappear, and they eventually fall into a perpetual state of fighting against the futility of life. This feels as pitiful as the situation of a part-time worker who has to stay at his job until work hours end, even though he knows that no one will come to the store. So then, is all we can do is to cry over the roots of an unknown existence? No. If a biological father appears in front of the woman who was crying, now this would become a plot twist. When her father appears voluntarily in front of her after hearing the news that she was unable to find her parents on her own, her final puzzle will finally be completed. When she hears the story of how her father loved his wife, how he gave birth to her with such beautiful love and affection, and how he searched for her all his life after losing her, the final missing piece of her puzzle will finally be completed, and her crying will turn into laughter. And that last piece of the puzzle is in today's scripture. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The way we know and understand God is through two books. One is a book called Nature, and the other is a book called the Bible. This is also referred to as natural revelation and special revelation. Why divide between the natural and the special? Usually, special measures are taken in situations that cannot be resolved naturally or normally. Likewise, nature allows us to know God naturally, but we are so foolish to the point that we cannot find God in nature. That is why God revealed himself through the Bible, through this special revelation. There are two ways others can know and understand me. One is to understand me through observation, and the second is to know me as I introduce myself. When you find out some information about the other person through observation, you can guess that I am a man, how tall I am, what country I'm from. However, even if one has the acute observation skills of Sherlock Holmes, knowing me only through observation has its limits. What would happen if I start introducing myself? If I start to reveal myself, where I'm from, what kind of childhood I spent, and what my current interests are, you will know more about me through the introduction in less than 5 minutes compared to what you gather through observation only. You will also get to know me on a deeper and more personal level. So, originally, we would have known God by observing nature, but God made himself known through the Bible, a special revelation, to make himself known to foolish humans who were unable to understand God only through nature. In particular, God first introduces himself as a creator when revealing himself to us. Let's say that one son came home late one night, very drunk, after a company dinner. The son wakes up around 2 p.m. the next morning and is startled. There was pollock soup prepared right in front of him. No matter how hard he thought about it, he could not figure out who was it that knew that he had been drinking, and how he or she cooked pollock soup, and how this person knew his password to his home and entered the house, and how he or she prepared rice with his favorite side dishes. But because the food was prepared in front of him, he was eating the food, and even while eating, he continues to worry. Who is it? Who prepared this meal for me? When he looks closely at the table, he sees a written note. On the note, it said, "Son, I prepared a meal for you from Mom." Now everything starts to make sense. The fact that the side dishes were his favorites, that this person knew that he had been drinking, and that he or she also knew the password to his house. All of this now made sense because that person was his own mother. When we do not seek the creation of the universe from God, the more we try to uncover the origin of creation, the more we fall into a pit. This is because we enter the realm of mysterious works that humans cannot even fathom, and this is why we need special revelation. The Hebrew word for the phrase "in the beginning" in today's scripture is reshith, but the propositions b, which indicates time, is added to form the word breshith. And this means the very beginning. What kind of beginning is this? It refers to the point of creation, the beginning of creation of the entire universe. What we can take away from here and from this word is that God preceded the very beginning. For all things to exist, three basic elements must exist. These are time, space, and matter. However, God already existed before the existence of time, space, and matter in a place where the physical laws of this world do not apply. He existed by himself. Therefore, no matter how close we get to the secret of the origin of existence through the development of physics and astrophysics, a scientific approach to the existence of God will fail to make sense. This is because God is not confined within the laws of our time, space, and matter in which we live. Trying to understand God through science is just a futile attempt, like trying to catch the wind with your hands. Therefore, rather than saying that the existence of God has not been proven from a scientific perspective, it seems more appropriate to say that since God is not confined by the physical sense of space and time, we, who live in this material world, do not have the ability to verify the existence of God. Next, the expression God in Hebrew is Elohim. Elohim comes from the meaning of strong, and is a word used to emphasize the power of God, a strong and powerful figure. So this Elohim was used in the plural, which is believed to be the Hebrew term for expressing his majesticness in plural. This word speaks volumes to the respect, abundance, and wonder of a great being. In other words, Creator God means majestic and strong God. The use of the word Elohim when referring to God in the context of creation is to understand and introduce God to have the power to carry out the works of creation. And here, we can identify an important point about the Bible's description method, which is that the Bible presupposes and declares the existence of God without any attempts to prove or explain it. This is like when you introduce yourself in front of someone and say, "Hello, my name is such," without explaining who you are. If Moses had tried to prove or explain the existence of God to the Israelites, it would have been impossible to do so using human language. However, the Israelites did not need proof of God's existence because they saw the 10 great plagues and miracles performed by God in the Red Sea and the wilderness before their own eyes. So the introduction to God began after one had already experienced God. And this is not something only the Israelites experience. We ourselves have already experienced miracles in our daily lives. If we look at our daily lives from the perspective of an inquirer rather than from an ordinary perspective, we will experience something truly amazing. The mystery of the expanse of outer space, the various forms of lives and changes of seasons, the entire process of childbirth and childbearing through the marriage of a man and a woman. All of these are close to the realm of mystery where our brains cannot fathom. We are already living our daily lives in miracles, and as we enjoy this miraculous daily lives, which is like a gift, we are being introduced to God as the one who created us and gave us this world. Next, the expression the heavens and the earth in Hebrew is Et Hasamayim Bit Haaretz. A literal translation can be expressed as the heavens and the earth. This does not simply refer to the heavens and the earth of the earth that we see now, but is an expression that refers to the entire macrocosm. In other words, the sky is a space and the earth is the matter or the substance. The modern science explains the composition of all existing substances in terms of atoms and molecules. To put it into perspective, when we build something using toy blocks, first, the blocks will exist in their own shapes in a singular form. But there will be multiple Lego blocks of the same shape and Lego blocks of different shapes. However, depending on which Lego blocks that we choose to combine, there will be various shapes of works that are created. When the Bible says that God has created the earth, it means that He created the substance or the matters of the earth with which to create the entire universe. Lastly, the Hebrew word for the word created is bara. This word means that something was created from nothing, without using any substance or matter. Grammatically, it also is sometimes used to mean creation without labeling the substances. But in today's scripture, it is used to explain the creation of God out of nothingness. It was specifically emphasized to explain that. This is God's creation, which cannot be fathomed by humans. Up to this point, we have looked at the first sentence where God introduces himself as the creator. So why is this so important to our faith and life? Because the first word determines our perspective of how we should view the world. This is essentially the crossroad to our lives. Whether or not one accepts God as a creator, according to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, makes a difference in a person's life and values. From the moment one does not accept God's creation, one's life becomes a result of simple chance and a byproduct of chance, and one becomes nothing more than an orphan or a dust-like spark in the midst of a universe of uncertainty. This is because to be created means that they were created with a purpose. If you look at all the objects that surround us now, you will see that they have their own purpose and are designed according to their purpose. Chairs that you are currently sitting on, if you look at them, they are designed for people to sit on and have legs. And the legs of the chair, on top of it, a flat board is placed. Glasses are designed to hold lenses in front of the eyes to improve people's vision and are also designed to fit over the nose and ears so that they remain in place without slipping. So all beings, likewise, are designed with a purpose. Even the choice of the materials is curated according to their own purposes. However, if this universe or humans were not created with a purpose, our design would be nothing more than a byproduct of chance, and since we were just born and introduced to this world, we would have no purpose in life other than to survive. Just like the woman who shed tears at the entrance to an adoption agency because she couldn't find the roots of her identity, we would sit down and cry in front of that vast emptiness. Humans who fail to accept creation end up making two major choices. Because they lose their purpose in life, they end up living a life of drifting through the sea of life aimlessly. And most of them would seek self-centered gratification. Sometimes they would pursue physical pleasure, sometimes they would pursue mental satisfaction, and sometimes they would pursue intellectual pleasure and relationship-oriented pleasures. And this can also turn into one's obsession towards possession, pleasure, and honor. On the other hand, there are also people who pursue the invisible values. They believe that there is an invisible value beyond the pursuit of one's own pleasure, and then they try to establish their own purpose in life within a noble virtue that pursues values beyond what everyday ordinary people would pursue. And these efforts would translate into obsession over sacrifice, harmony, symbiosis, development of humanity, and social contribution. They take this as a top priority. Their sacrifice and dedication to others and the community, which goes beyond the selfish, greedy nature of humans, may be something to be greatly respected and admired when viewed as a fellow human being. However, in the end, all these attempts are futile and cannot satisfy our souls. Pursuing such values that transcends the daily lives may make one feel like they are becoming a better or a more necessary being, but even they end up wondering whether such noble values really define the purpose of their lives, and they continue to desire for a more noble and firm reason for their lives. Sometimes when you clean your home, you may come across items whose purpose you do not know. Sometimes you find parts that you don't know where they came from. Then one would either throw them away or use it for other purposes. What would you do if the mother in the earlier example went to her son's house to boil soup and put it on the table, but couldn't find the pot holder, so she used her son's tablet instead? What would happen? It will essentially be the most expensive pot holder that ever existed. Of course, you can use it that way, but the tablet was not designed to be used as a pot holder. And we consider this a waste. To believe in God the Creator means to believe that God has a purpose for creating each and every one of us, and that He designed ourselves according to each respective purposes. If we believe that we are simply a byproduct of chance, wouldn't we live like an expensive tablet that ended up as a pot holder? And even if you pursue an all-transcending, higher level values than others, the tablet will only serve to draft some documents. When creating this tablet, the Creator must have installed features of the highest specifications to enable artistic, industrial, and creative activities through various apps and programs so that it could perform productive works. Now, it would be a pity to live without knowing that such functions and features exist. So, as we read the book of Genesis and the Bible, we come to know the purpose and the will of God who created us, and as we live according to that will, we realize why God has created humans in such a precious way. Some of you may ask these questions while listening to today's sermon. Okay, Pastor, you say that God designed me and is a creator of my life. But why is my life so miserable? The reasons for the misery may vary, and for some, it may be due to their own issues and personalities. For some, it may be due to broken relationships with others. No matter the reason, our broken lives can be compared to broken violins. When someone learns to play the violin, they buy the violin and practice really hard. However, as time goes by, sometimes the sound becomes messed up or the strings break due to lack of tuning. And The components of the violin may break or tear. Then, those who cannot repair the violin by themselves must go back to the person who sold the violin in the first place, or if that does not work, then they must return it to the company that made the violin or go to a repair company. Then the violin will be repaired and tuned again, albeit some time, so that you can once again play the violin. If you feel that the violin of your life is now in disrepair, unable to produce the correct notes, or that it is so damaged that you cannot play it, please entrust yourself and the violin in the hands of God the Creator. And let us confess that we desire for God to steer the wheel of our lives and repair and tune us back. Even if it looks like a fine violin on the outside, if it is not making the right sounds, then you must ask God to help you fine-tune that violin to match the beautiful melody of God's words. There's something called a tuning fork. This is a U-shaped object with a handle, and when you ring it, it produces a certain sound. These sounds are used to match the notes of the instruments. The word of the God is like a tuning fork to our lives. When we feel that the instrument of our life is not making the correct sounds and the correct notes, we need to tune our lives to the tone of the tuning fork of that word. If you match each string and each note with a tuning fork, you will eventually be able to play the instrument of your life beautifully again. Therefore, if you're experiencing a lot of pain and difficulty in your life right now, then let us entrust our lives to God, the Creator. When we allow God to heal us, to empower us, and to tune us, our lives will once again become the violins that play the beautiful melody of life according and designed to the Creator's will. Also, if there are those who are still sitting down and crying without trusting in God the Creator, let us sincerely pray that they will be able to meet God, who will come and say, "I have created you," so that they will be able to recover their true purpose and identity of their lives in Him. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your love and compassion for us, who are like space orphans, who would have failed to know their parents and could only cry. Thank you for finding us and saying that I am your Father. We live in an era where there are still too many people who do not accept God as a creator and are wandering around trying to find the purpose of life. Let them know the greatness and the majesty of God, which cannot be confined by physical time and space, and allow them to discover God's power and providence in nature, and let them be introduced to God through the Bible, in turn giving them the grace to write the second act of our lives through a personal encounter with God. Also, if there are people who go to church but have not yet become the true children of God and are trying to find the meaning and purpose of life on their own, may they have the grace to bow on their knees before God the Creator at this time and humbly confess God as their Father and pray. If there are those who believe in God as a Creator but are still suffering because they do not follow God's words, please let them once again entrust their broken violins to the hands of God and experience and know God's healing, empowerment, and tuning. And by doing so, grant us the mercy to become your people who glorify God with beautiful melodies with our violins. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.